Hello and welcome to this broadcast from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. It's good to have you along again to join with us in this broadcast as we come to consider the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in these days in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is good news to a world lost in sin. And we thank God that in all of our sin and the lost state that we have because of our rejection of the Lord and because of the fallen Adam and all of our sin, we rejoice that there is hope, there is deliverance, there is a message for sinners. And I trust that as you join with us in this broadcast, that the Lord will speak to you and that his word will come with freshness to your hearts. And I would encourage you to wait on and listen to the word of God if you're not saved. I would encourage you to listen to the word of God and to hear the message of the gospel. And I trust that all of you who listen into this broadcast will be blessed by the word of God. Can you turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 28? Genesis chapter 28, and we'll read together from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, verse 22. Genesis chapter 28, and we're reading together from verse 10. And the word of God says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid, and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless this reading of his own precious word. Let's just bow together in prayer. And let all of us seek the Lord for his mercy and grace, to open up our hearts and our minds to receive his truth, and we need the help of the Spirit of God. And let's just seek the Lord's face. Our gracious God, we do come before thee with joy, thanking thee that we who once were lost and far away from thee and estranged from God have been made nigh by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, he who is the eternal God and yet became man. Lord, took our nature that he might redeem sinful men. And we thank thee, Lord, today that there is this message of hope for sinners. We thank thee, Lord, that out of your gracious and good nature, Lord, you have extended mercy to sinners in the gospel. And even this day you continue, O Lord, to extend your hand of power to deliver sinners. We thank thee, Lord, therefore, that there is forgiveness with God. Lord, we thank thee for the mercy that you show in the cross and in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that those who know not thee will experience that even at this time. O Lord, as we are surrounded in these days by tragedy on every side, yet we pray, O Lord, that your word and your gospel will come with light and with life to lost souls. O Lord, build your church, we pray. May the gospel continue to be spread. We thank you for this means of the webcast. We pray, O Lord, that through this means, O God, your word and your beloved Son will be shed abroad, and that your glory will be seen. O Lord, be with us now. Bless each one that listens in. We pray for the grace that we need to receive the word and to, O Lord, respond to it. We pray, Father, that you will be mindful, O Lord, of all of our weaknesses and frailties, and be pleased, O Lord, to bless your word. Do this, we pray. We long for Christ to be glorified and for your name to be given the preeminence. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we turn in the Word of God to this 28th chapter of Genesis, and in particular to the account that we find between verses 10 and verse 22. This passage of God's precious word reveals a key moment in the life of Jacob. Whenever we consider the whole life of Jacob, it's certainly true to say that he had an eventful life. And Jacob himself acknowledged that whenever he was speaking to Pharaoh at the end of his life, and he said, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." Certainly, Jacob's life was filled with many great events. And yet, in all of the experiences that Jacob had, this scene certainly stands out. For it is evident that this was when Jacob began to understand and to rest upon the finished work of Jesus Christ and to believe in him as his Lord and Savior. Now, as we come to this account, we find Jacob fleeing for his life. If you look back into the previous chapter, chapter 27, we see the reason for this. Chapter 27, verse 41 says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.' And these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, said unto him, 'Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran.'" And so here we see the reason for Jacob being on this flight. His deception and his lying had caught up with him. He had deceived his father into receiving the blessing, and all that had occurred there, he had lied to his brother. And so now he has to flee for his life. He is now a lonely wanderer on his way to Haran. And on that journey, he passes through Bethel, which is about 50 miles, or what would have been a few days' journey on foot from Beersheba. And how tragic it was for him, thrust out of his home. He now pauses on his journey, the sky as his roof, the earth as his bed, and the stone for his pillow. And certainly we could say that sin had brought him low. It had removed from him all earthly comforts, such that his only hope lay in the mercy of God. Here is this forlorn man, Jacob. But this passage teaches us that God comforts most by revelations of himself. We look in verse 13. The Lord appears to Jacob, and we read, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." And so here the Lord reveals himself to Jacob. He communicates to Jacob by way of a dream. And before the word of God was written, this was one of the means by which God spoke to men and by which he revealed truth to men. And so as Jacob dreamed, this wondrously displayed to him the gospel and the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his person, in his work, and in his grace. This dream which God gave to Jacob revealed the truths of the gospel. And as Jacob viewed this dream, it brought about a great change within him. It brought about conversion within his heart. And therefore, if there is to be any genuine and saving change in your life, then you must receive the message of Christ and embrace him. Oh, how important this is. Conversion can only come about when a sinner turns to Christ as he is revealed to them in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God presents clearly and simply to us Jesus Christ as the one way of salvation. If you turn with me for a moment to 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we read here some verses where Paul is talking of the conversion of the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 5, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes." And so notice that the gospel came unto them in word. Yes, it came in power and in Holy Ghost, but it was a message. And then look at verse 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And there's a description of conversion. They turned from idols and they turned to God. Verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So notice that. It is Christ who converts, who saves. It makes it very clear there. Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. And that's the account of the Thessalonians' conversion. And we think about Jacob. He was a deceiver, and he could not bring about any transformation of himself, and neither can you. We read in Jeremiah, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots. We cannot do anything to change our own hearts. We are sinners by nature. And so it is only by the power of Jesus Christ that we can be transformed, that we can be delivered. In other words, sinners need divine intervention. And if you do not know the Lord, then you need divine intervention. You need Jesus Christ to save your soul, to deliver you from the wrath to come, to bring about a genuine and saving change in your heart. So I want to consider with you from this passage Jacob's conversion at Bethel. Jacob's conversion at Bethel. And I trust as we consider Jacob's conversion that as you listen in, you will desire to be converted yourself, that God will transform your heart. Firstly, notice with me Jacob's spiritual condition before Bethel. Jacob's spiritual condition before Bethel. And we observe immediately that he was a religious man. He was religious, brought up by godly parents, raised in a home which knew the Lord. And therefore Jacob would have been a part of family worship. No doubt he would have been taught by his father Isaac regarding the ways of God. He would have been taught of his grandfather Abraham and of his experiences. And no doubt his father too, Isaac, would have told him of what God had done in his life. And Isaac would have told Jacob as well of the promise of the Saviour through their seed, which had been given to Abraham and to Isaac as well. In fact, we read in Hebrews 11 and the verse 9 that Jacob was heirs with Isaac and Abraham of the same promise. And that promise was the promise of the Redeemer, the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ. And therefore Jacob was aware of the gospel promise. He knew of the great blessing in receiving Christ from the life of his grandfather and father. And yet the tragic thing about Jacob is that he tried to get it the wrong way. He sought the blessing by deception and by lies. It would seem, therefore, that Jacob wanted the blessing without doing God's will. And that's what we see in his life. He went about obtaining the blessing, but he was not doing what God willed. Oh yes, he appreciated the benefits, but he was not obedient to God. And his actions are replicated in the lives of religious people who desire the easing of the conscience that comes with formal religion and that guarantees the acceptance with God. And that is what formal religion offers. It pleases the natural desire for meaning that is found in the lives of people. We all need meaning and purpose to live. And religion offers that. It satisfies our feelings and our affections. That part of us which was made and designed by God to relate to Him, which has been corrupted by sin, now expresses itself in religious feelings and thoughts that are often expressed in false worship. And yet religion indulges in all of these things without displeasing the flesh. And that is exactly what we observe whenever we think of the people of Israel at Sinai. And how striking was their behavior. They had been delivered and redeemed by the Lord from Egypt. But being patient and waiting upon God for His law, which was given through Moses, was grievous to them. Remember that Moses was on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights, and the people became restless, became impatient. But as they do so, they do not disregard the idea of God completely. They do not come to a position and say, there is no God, but they supplant the Lord with an idol. They create the golden calf. And so we see that. Men supplant God by creating an idol, by creating a false religion, by attempting to receive the blessing without doing God's will. And isn't it true that every one of us want to go to heaven? I'm sure if I was to ask every one of you personally, would you like to go to heaven? I'm almost sure that every one of you would say, yes, of course. But the question is, are you prepared to come by the way of the cross? Well, how telling that is. You may want to go to heaven, but you may desire to achieve that in your own way. Certainly not the way that God has given. But that is so important. Are you prepared to come through Jesus Christ, through the cross? Jesus Christ spoke of this in Matthew 16 in the verse 24. If you turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and the verse 24. And it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Christ makes it very clear that in order to follow him, in order to become a Christian, there has to be the denying of self. There has to be the taking up of the cross. In other words, there has to be the giving up of everything in order to embrace Jesus Christ and in order to embrace what he has done for sinners at Calvary. And so Jacob, he was sadly a religious man. But I want you to observe as well that he was spiritually dead. We read in verse 16 of Genesis 28, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. How telling this is. Observe with me his unawareness of God's presence before he went to sleep. Because we read there in verse 16 that he awaked and said, sure the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. And so when we think of Jacob, he really is described very well as being a dead person spiritually, because a dead person has no senses. And Jacob's spiritual insensitivity reveals that he didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't know that God was there with him because he didn't know God at all. Oh yes, Bethel was the house of God, and yet whenever Jacob arrived that evening, he was unaware that God was even there. Oh yes, he may have knew about the Lord. He may have known about the Savior intellectually. But he did not have any spiritual or experimental knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, turn with me to Matthew. And we look in chapter 15 and the verse 8. And Jesus Christ again speaks on this most important issue. Matthew 15 and the verse 8. And says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Certainly that could be true. It is true to say of Jacob. His heart was far from the Lord. He didn't know the Lord was there. His sinful nature was evident, not only in his alienation from God, but also by his sinful actions. And he was a man in great need. Great need of God's grace. Great need of God's mercy. And yet as we think of these points, how many fit Jacob's condition? And perhaps it's true that It can be said of you, you are religious, and yet spiritually dead. You indulge in all that religion can offer, and you seek the blessing without obedience to God. And in fact, your heart is cold and dead, and you do not know the Lord. Oh, how great need you have of Jesus Christ. Even as Jacob arrived at Bethel in this condition, he desperately needed God's mercy. Dear unsaved person, that is true of you too. Oh, do so be careful with religion. For many souls have been damned, immersed in religion, and yet lost and spiritually dead. This was Jacob's spiritual condition before Bethel. But then secondly, I want you to see Jacob's spiritual experience at Bethel. His spiritual experience at Bethel. Look with me in verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This dream that God gave presented to Jacob a picture of Christ. And Christ confirmed this meaning for us in John 1 and the verse 51, where he spoke of seeing the angels and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so, as Jacob dreamed, therefore, God was revealing to him Jesus Christ. And so this experience that he had as he dreamed, it involved firstly receiving revelation, because Jacob saw a ladder that sat upon the earth and reached up into heaven. This symbolical ladder, which it was set upon the earth and reached to heaven, told Jacob that the Saviour is both God and man. Only one who is both God and man could unite sinful men with God, could span the gulf that is between a holy God and sinful men. And therefore, as we think of this ladder spanning this great gulf, and we realize that it's speaking of Jesus Christ. How wonderful is Jesus Christ? What a wonderful person he is. I wonder, have you ever thought about how wonderful he is? You see, the summit of this ladder is Christ. We read that the Lord stood above it in verse 13. That is, stood above the ladder. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is in heaven, reigning as the sovereign, everlasting God, who has infinite power and love and wisdom and goodness. You see, this is amazing, because nothing less than a Saviour who is God could quench the infinite outrage and wrath of God upon our boundless sinfulness. Only God himself could satisfy divine justice. Our iniquities tower like mountains, but they are forgiven in Christ. Our guilt is a crushing weight upon our conscience, which is wounded by many sins. But Christ brings peace, brings healing. He removes the weight. He carries away the burden. He rolls our sins away. He washes them away by the blood of his cross, and he does so because he is God. He is God. But this ladder, which was set up on the earth, it also tells us that Christ has our nature. Well, yes, this ladder reached to heaven, but it was set upon the earth. Our Savior, he is truly man. In Christ, deity is joined with humanity. Man must die for his sin. And so the Savior became man in order that he would endure the penalty of our sin. And we read of that in Philippians 2 and the verse 6. It says of our Savior that he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, how wonderful this is! Christ became a man. Oh, yes, he was still truly God, and yet he became truly man. And heaven is reached by embracing and clinging to Christ. Oh, think about this ladder, and realize that like you would cling to a ladder in order to ascend up to heaven, you must cling to Christ. If you are to be carried to everlasting life in Jesus Christ, all this ladder, what does it do? It lifts a helpless soul into the arms of the Heavenly Father. Isn't that what Christ said? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All this ladder, it rescues, it delivers, it saves, it exalts. And it does so because it is a sure ladder. It is a strong ladder. It is Christ. It is Christ. Oh, whenever you hear these things, do not realize how much you need Christ. There is none like him. He alone is able to deliver you. And the Lord made that very clear in verse 14. For he spoke there of the Savior as one who would bless all the families of the earth. And that one is Jesus Christ. And Jacob, he saw all this. He received this revelation. He was presented with Christ. But then his experience, it also involved being awakened. Being awakened. Because this blessed revelation stirred Jacob from sleep. As he received this revelation of Christ, he awoke. And I suggest to you that that was symbolic of spiritual awakening. If you look with me in Ephesians 2 in the verse 5, and here we do read of spiritual awakening. Ephesians 2 in the verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive or awakened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. And notice the connection there between awakening and Christ, because it is Christ who redeems the soul. And so Christ's words which were spoken to Jacob, they are spirit and they are life. They breathed everlasting life into the souls of men, and it breathed life into the soul of Jacob. This awakening, what did it do? It brought about understanding. Here he was before, unaware of God's presence. And all of a sudden, as he awakens, we see he's fearful. He realizes God's holiness and justice and power. He recognizes that he is a sinner, that he is guilty. Look at what we read in verse 17. And he was afraid. said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." He realized he was in the presence of God, and he knew he was a sinner. And therefore, he was fearful before God. How blessed then was this dream? Not only did it give him revelation, but it awakened him. And all that you would realize your need of this awakening, and that you would respond to the word of God, even as it has been presented to you now. You need to hear this message and to respond to this message. You need to be awakened out of your spiritual deadness and realize your need to flee to the divine refuge of Christ. Oh, I exhort you today, cling to the divine ladder. Cling to Jesus Christ. Hear the message of the ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. And oh, run to Jesus Christ today, that you might pass from death unto life, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of Christ, of Jesus Christ, that you would pass from darkness into light. Well, that is what happens to sinners whenever they receive Jesus Christ, whenever they're born again, they're awakened, they receive life. Oh, this was Jacob's experience at Bethel. Then thirdly and finally, we want to see Jacob's spiritual change from Bethel. Jacob's spiritual change from Bethel. Look in verse 18. "And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel." And so as a result of God's word dawning upon his heart and the quickening of the Spirit, he had a sense of the presence of God. And immediately we see that he called upon God to be his God. How wonderful this is, the change that is brought about. He says in verse 21, "So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." And notice those words, "the Lord be my God." Jacob wants the Lord to be his Savior. As he expresses these words, therefore, he desires to become the child of God. There was godly fear in this man, because he had been born again. And we know this if you turn with me to Proverbs 14. And Proverbs 14, the verse 27. And here, this makes it very clear the connection between spiritual awakening and a godly fear. Proverbs 14 and the verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." So notice that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In other words, the fear of God is evidence the person has been born again, that they have received new life. And he immediately showed signs of the new birth by rising early, by consecrating himself to God. And that is the significance of Jacob pouring the oil upon the stone. He was consecrating himself to God, and he committed himself to serving God. Isn't it wonderful that we see him taking the stone, which was merely a pillow during the night, but it now becomes a memorial to the Lord, a testimony and a reminder to the praise of God's glorious grace. Here's a man who's been transformed, a man who has been converted. You see, we need to realize then that when a person is transformed within, that change will begin to be displayed outwardly. And that is what Jesus Christ himself taught in Luke 6 and the verse 45, where he said, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." And if you have been truly born again, then there will be evidence of grace in your life. There will be that fear of God, that desire to consecrate yourself to God, that desire to have the Lord as your God, to become a child of His, and to serve Him. Oh yes, we cannot produce these things of ourselves. It is only when an individual is converted by the power of Christ. Or we look at Jacob and we wonder, how could such a transformation occur in such a man? And we realize it's because of the great power of Jesus Christ to convert the souls of men. Whenever we consider this spiritual change, does it not emphasize to you again that you need Him desperately? Oh, how you need Him today to come and to rescue your soul and to bring about this spiritual change that occurred in Jacob's life. Oh, wherever you are right now listening to this broadcast, if you do not know the Lord and the things that I have spoken to you of from the Word of God are foreign to you, then you need to get down before God and look at what God has revealed to you of Jesus Christ and consider what the Lord is able to do. Transform your heart, make you a new creature, and ask the Lord to do that for you. Be done with self. Be done with human efforts. All your attempts have failed. It is time to come to an end of yourself and to cry unto God for mercy and for grace and for forgiveness. And the Lord will hear your cry. He will come to your aid. He will deliver your soul. And you will know Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. Oh, if you're not saved, now is the time. Even as this broadcast comes to a close, I would exhort you to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to embrace Him as your own Savior and ask Him to convert you and to save you by His sovereign and saving grace. Amen. Let's just bow together in prayer and we'll close this broadcast. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we do thank Thee for what You did in the life of Jacob. We thank Thee for the great power and mercy that You displayed in his life to convert his soul to Jesus Christ, to make him a child of God. And Lord, we pray that You will show such power and mercy to those who know not Thee, or even at this very moment listening in. Oh Lord, have mercy, we pray. We ask, O Lord, that in these days You will, O Lord, draw irresistibly souls to Yourself, and that the cross will triumph in the lives of people. Lord, bless this Your own word. We recognize that this has come from God Himself. It is His word. It is divine revelation. Lord, this is not our ideas or our inventions. Lord, we receive it from Thee and pray, O Lord, that You will give us grace to respond, to be obedient to the call of the gospel, and to live in the light of its great trees. O Lord, may the word flourish and blossom and go forth. Lord, bless Thine own people at this time. May even what You have done in their lives fill them with great joy. And bless us all, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.